the typical superstitious person probably has two or more personal practices which they think will keep them out of harm's way. What are some of the typical superstitions that you explored in your book, Bruce Hood?
Well, actually, not very many. The book is actually more about the belief of powers and events and energies operating. You know, everyone knows about common superstitions and, you know, black cats and not walking under ladders. That's not what I work on. I work on the brain and how the brain sees patterns and how the brain infers hidden structure and energies operating. And when you said you're not superstitious, I challenge you, Ian, because I suspect you do have quite a few that you haven't recognized.
Tell me why.
Well, for example, would you wear the clothing of a killer? Would you put a cardigan on if you'd known it had been worn previously by a murderer?
My wife just asked me the other day whether I'd be willing to move into the house that the Manson family murders took place in Los Angeles, and I said, sure. It's currently for sale. I wouldn't have a problem with that.
That's pretty good. But what about your wife? Did she have what was her inclination?
I think she'd be a little more spooked out about that.
Right.
You know, but you had a other, she and I would probably differ on a lot of things, but that's because I really am not very superstitious. But if you give me another example of why, what you think might be a secret superstition of mine.
Could you readily swap your, I don't know if you have a wedding ring, but could you swap it for an identical duplicate?
You're talking about, so would that be a curse if you got rid of your wedding ring? You'd think there was a problem with, that would create a problem in the marriage? Is that the kind of a, superstition?
No, not marriage, but people would be very uncomfortable about the idea of swapping sentimental objects or things that they place a lot of emotional connection mm-hmm. with.
I mean, I like totems. I'm sorry. I like totems. I like them, you know, as symbols, but I don't imbue them with power.
Right. Okay. Could you stab a photograph of a loved one through the eyes with a pair of scissors?
Never even heard of this. I've never heard this.
This is why I challenge.
Well, I appreciate that. I'm sorry I haven't read all of it, but I did read. I didn't get up to the part about stabbing pictures through the eyes, but tell me what you mean by that. The superstition that is almost if you step on a crack, you'll break your mother's back kind of a thing.
Well, that's testimony. Okay. That's the sorts of things that we learn from our friends and our families, but I'm interested in those idiosyncratic personal beliefs, those things
right.
that you just feel very uncomfortable with, and where do they come from? That to me is a really interesting issue.
Yeah, no, I get the how you nuance it. I just hadn't gotten there yet. But the idea of superstitions, like just like the ones you've mentioned, these are the things which I would say wholeheartedly. I don't believe in knocking on wood. I don't believe in having to do. I don't give a second thought to Friday the 13th. I don't have a problem. I tell you what, I once did. Maybe this will answer your question. I was going to go for a hot air balloon ride. I was on a radio show, and it was Friday the 13th, and we were going to go for a hot air balloon ride. And I said, you know what? I said, I don't have any problem doing this on Friday the 13th. Other people said, it's a bad thing. Don't do it. Why risk it? That was what I heard over and over again. Why risk it? So I said, all right, let's go for this all the way. We got a black cat. We got a ladder. We got a mirror. Somebody had the black cat walk in front of me. I walked underneath the ladder. I broke the mirror, and then I got into the gondola of the hot air balloon, and it crashed. The hot air balloon crashed. So everybody got to say, I told you so, but I still don't say that there's a connection. But anyway. So
that's a pretty good story, actually.
Yeah. It did. It totally crashed. So but that's the kind of thing that I just generally don't look at. But, you know, when you look at superstitions and when you talk to people about their superstitions, your angle on it is that the way that they experience the superstition or that belief gives them a sense of that by filling in the gaps in their belief systems, that they can sort of make the world make sense, right? That they can kind of create a cosmology of that.
Absolutely true. And it's a very adaptive way of thinking, because often there is a connection. And so if you have a brain which tries to see those connections, it's really going to be a very useful strategy, because to ignore these things all the time could actually, you know, has a higher cost. So, you know, this has been studied experimentally. It's been studied in terms of, you know, modeling how these different behaviors would work. And it turns out, actually, it's not a bad way of thinking.
Tell me about that.
Well, for example, if people feel in a situation where they don't have any control, something which is unpredictable, they find that stressful. But by engaging in behaviors and beliefs that you can affect the outcome, that inoculates you against the worst aspects of the stress. So, for example, footballers or sportsmen, most of them have superstitions, typically tennis players. And it turns out that these rituals actually help their performance, because if you stop them doing the ritual, they don't do so well. Likewise, professions like dangerous professions, firemen, fishermen, these are all things which are associated with superstitions because they produce this sense of control. And this psychological belief that you can do something is very useful.